has a great deal to say on the subject of bitterness. First of all, it tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 8, that herbs can be bitter. So can water. You may remember the waters of Marah in Exodus chapter 15, 23, as they left Egypt and were traveling in the wilderness. So can grapes. Clusters of grapes can be bitter also, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 32. The words that people speak to one another can also be filled with bitterness, as per the scripture reading, verse 3 there, illustrates. We are constantly hearing in society today bitter words spoken in public, usually toward other people. Even good people, however, may experience bitter events. Let's turn to Job chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. Job chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul? Who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Job's life had become exceedingly bitter as a result of several things that had happened. The loss of all of his wealth and the loss of all of his family, except his wife. Job preferred death to the suffering that he was enduring. And he complained about not knowing the cause of all of these things. But others have experienced the same thing by various events that have occurred in their lives. You'll probably recall that when Ruth and Naomi came back to Israel after having she had lived in Moab for a number of years, she said, "Call me Mara," which means bitter, instead of her name, which was Naomi, meaning pleasant. Because she had lost her husband and her two sons, she had a rather bitter outlook toward life. But it was about to change. Events can make a person feel bitterness. Now, there are other ways in which this is also true. You'll probably remember that Exodus chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says that Pharaoh made life hard for the Israelites. Their lives were made bitter by the bondage that they were serving. When certain truths are known, some people cry out with a bitter cry. We find that in a few passages of Scripture. For example, Esau cried out in bitterness when he learned that his brother stole his blessing. Genesis chapter 27. Verses 33 and 34. He was very bitter toward his brother. He cried out in bitterness and he said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob," meaning supplanter, "for he has stolen my blessing and he also bought my birthright. He has supplanted me these two times." And he was very bitter toward what had happened. Let's turn to Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, where we have another example of this type of feeling that people have as a result of the turns that life has to offer. In Esther chapter 4, beginning with the very first verse, we read, "When Mordecai learned of all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the square in from the king's gate, for so one might enter the king's gate, no one might enter the king's gate with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree had arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Now, all of that was the result of the decree that the king had made that the Jews were to be exterminated. So we can certainly understand why Mordecai cried out with a loud and bitter cry. Another instance is found in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15, which you'll also recognize because it's quoted in the New Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15, "Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children to be comforted because they were no more." And of course, this refers to Herod destroying the children 2 years age and under at Bethlehem. And that is Rachel weeping for her children, Matthew 2 and verse 17. Most of us have had to deal with the problem of bitterness or the potential for bitterness at some time in our lives. And so we've seen it applied to things. We've seen it applied to circumstances. We've seen that it causes people to utter bitter cries concerning what was happening. You may have seen bitterness in yourself or even in another person. You may have felt bitter towards someone else. But here is why this needs to be dealt with. And that is that bitterness can lead to other sins. It has been the root of some problems within churches and among brethren. David, in his lifetime, had to deal with some people that you could say were bitter. Was not his king, Saul, bitter toward David as it related to the praise that David had heaped upon him? Had he not grown envious and jealous at those things and was so bitter that he tried to have David killed several times? Then there was David's wife, Michal, who had been separated from him, given to another man, and then forced to return to him, and she was bitter about that all the days of her life. Then there was his son Absalom, who was bitter because probably in Absalom's mind, David should have executed some sort of justice upon Amnon for violating his sister Tamar. But David did nothing. Absalom took matters into his own hands and avenged the honor of his sister. But then he led a rebellion against David, his father. So there was a lot of bitterness around David in his lifetime. But none of these are the subject of tonight's lesson, because there's one other person that acts out of bitterness toward David, and that person is Shimei. And Shimei came out to curse David as he was fleeing Jerusalem because Absalom, his son, had raised up a rebellion against him. We'd like to look at the text then from 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 through 7. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 through 7. Now Absalom has already gained control of the city of Jerusalem. David and his loyal followers are fleeing from the city. Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also, Shimei thus said when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. This is a man in the throes of bitterness. The word's not used, but it's obvious that this is where he is. His bitterness was based upon false premises. Let's notice one more verse, verse 8. The Lord has brought upon you, Shimei says, all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered your kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Well, what does he really think about it, I wonder? He is obviously very upset, very bitter, and so we'd like to notice some things that oftentimes are associated with bitterness like this. First of all, it was unfounded because it was based on false premises. According to Shimei, David's suffering came upon him because the Lord had returned upon him all the blood of the house of Saul. But David was not guilty of any of the blood of the house of Saul. And so the idea is wrong at the outset. Now, you might say, what is this idea of the blood returning upon someone? That simply means you bear the consequences of your guilt and you suffer consequences for what you have done by your actions. In this case, he alleged that David had killed the house of Saul. But he had done no such thing. We read in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 25 that those who crucified Jesus volunteered this very thing. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 25, we read, and the people answered and said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. We will pay the price for the blood of Christ. Oh, what a foolish thing to say. Because it would happen according to their word. But what they are saying is that we will be responsible for the blood that is shed. In this case, the innocent blood that is shed. So that is one example of that particular idea or an explanation of what it means to have be returned on your own head. Another one is found in Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 28, as you'll recall, the apostles, much later on, would be charged with certain things. And the high priest asked them, did we not command you strictly not to teach in this name, referring to Christ? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. No, the apostles didn't have to do that. They had already volunteered that. They had already said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. The apostles were only saying they were guilty for what they had done in crucifying Jesus. Shimei implies that David had something to do with the death of Saul or those in Saul's house. But the Bible shows that his charges were false. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 through 5, and deal first with Saul himself. Here is what happened to Saul. And David had nothing to do with it. David was in another part of the country. Their wives and their possessions had been captured from Ziklag, and David and his men were pursuing them at the very time that Saul died and was put to death. So the Philistines fought again Israel, 1 Samuel 31:1. And the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain in Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons. The Philistines did that, not David. Then the battle became intense against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, because he was greatly afraid. Therefore, Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his own sword and died with him. This was the end of Saul. Now, if you read 2 Samuel, there's an Amalekite that shows up to David and says that he killed Saul. But he was lying. Saul was dead. He fell on his own sword. The Amalekite thought he might get a reward for having killed David's chief persecutor. He was mistaken. Then there's Saul's son, Ishbosheth, who attempted to reign in his place, and he was killed by the sons of Rimmon. Not only did David not kill the household of Saul, he put to death the alleged murderers. The Amalekite he had put to death, who said, even though he was lying, but he testified against himself, he said that he killed Saul. David had him put to death. And the sons of Rimmon, same thing. David did not only not kill Saul, he put to death those who did kill Saul and his family. And so Shimei's bitterness against David was groundless. Likewise, to paraphrase what God said to Jonah, if you are feeling as bitter about something as some of these folks were, you might ask yourself, doest thou well to be bitter? Do you do well? God asked Jonah to be angry. Be the same thing here. Do you do well to be bitter over something? How often has bitterness arisen in the Lord's church over imaginary slights and insults? In the event that the bitterness is based on an actual deed, it sometimes is still the result of something that is not deserved, but only perceived. That may just be one brother mildly rebuking another, and someone takes great offense. But even if a brother was rightly offended, bitterness is still wrong. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, last two verses of the chapter. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So the first lesson we can learn from the instance of Shimei is that sometimes bitterness is not based on the facts. It is based on assumptions, and faulty assumptions at that. And here somebody is being bitter over something that did not really exist or occur. A second lesson is that bitterness usually grows. A study of the book of 2 Samuel shows that when this event occurred that we've been looking at, Saul had been dead for about 20 years at this point. Shimei had nurtured this grudge for about two decades. He had been bitter all this time. What a commentary this is on the way that bitterness works in the lives of people. Instead of filling himself with worthwhile goals and thoughts, he has polluted himself with sinful ones. There's a reason Paul wrote Philippians 4:8 about thinking on things that are pure and so on. Because thinking on things like Shimei did is just going to engender more bitterness on someone and not lead to anything productive or worthwhile. Third, bitterness caused Shimei to rejoice at another's misfortune. David and all the people who were with him as they fled from Absalom's forces. Well, let's just go to 2 Samuel 15 and read verse 30. 2 Samuel 15, 30. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives, and as he went up, he had his head covered and went barefoot, and all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up weeping as they went. Why? Well, because David did not deserve to be thrown out of the capital city. But nevertheless, this was happening, and Shimei took great joy in what was happening. The perverseness of bitterness is so clear at this point. Solomon would later write these words in Proverbs chapter 24, and verse 17. Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. This is not the right attitude to have, but it's the attitude Shimei had. He was rejoicing. Bitter people like Shimei have neither room in their heart, or they don't have any inclination toward doing good to the objects of their bitterness. But look at what Paul would later on write in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 17. Romans 12 and verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Now I know we might think, well, they deserve it. I'm sure that's the way most of us do probably think. But the writer of the inspired apostle says, do not repay evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Obviously, the assumption is if he does not respond in kind. Do not be overcome by evil, a dangerous possibility, but overcome evil with good. And by the way, part of that is based from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. This is the correct attitude for a real wrong, not a perceived one, but for a real injustice. The fourth thing we see in connection with Shimei is that bitterness sets a terrible example for others to see. The picture of Shimei coming out, hurling dirt, hurling stones, publicly cursing David and all of those with him, shows shameless conduct that can result amongst those who are filled with bitterness. The results of years of private seething ferments, and finally when a convenient excuse is found, It boils over into a torrent of abusive language and perhaps even physical harm towards someone else. Thus, many who are not even principals in the matter may be affected and injured in the fallout. Well, was there no response to what Shimei was doing? Well, let's go back. We left off with verse 8 in 2 Samuel 16. Let's go back to verse 9. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head." But that's the kind of response you might get when you are so full of bitterness and express it the way that he did. However, David responded in a humble manner. Notice how he responds, beginning with verse 10. And the king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" And David said to Abishai and all his servants, "See how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life? How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him, and kicked up dust. He wouldn't quit, would he? That's what bitterness will cause a person to do and to be. It's a terrible example to set for other people. Actually, David was not reaping the results of how he had treated the house of Saul. This was a result of his killing an innocent man, Uriah the Hittite. David was told, as part of his punishment for that sin, that the sword would not depart from his house. And so David may be indeed paying for his sins, but it had nothing to do with the house of Saul. It had everything to do with Uriah the Hittite. Well, despite all of this extreme displeasure expressed by Shimei, after Absalom was killed, the rebellion was stopped, and David was coming back to Jerusalem. Guess who showed up to ask forgiveness? And we go to chapter 19 for that. 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 16. Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, who was from Bahurim, hastened and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And then about halfway through verse 18, "Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. And he said to the king, 'Do not let my lord impute iniquity to me, and remember what wrong your servant did that day when my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should not take it to heart.'" Yeah, his tune sure changed, didn't it? But was it legitimate? Was it honest? Or was it out of fear for his life? Well, he went on for several years, lived for several years. But after David's death, Solomon made a deal with Shimei in 1 Kings, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and said, "You will live, but you must remain in the city of Jerusalem." Well, a couple of servants ran away. Sometime later, he went out, got them, and brought them back. And Solomon took his life because he violated the agreement. So, he did not die a natural death. There was a punishment for what he did. He had never actually really repented for it. One other point that we might make from Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19, it is that it is a bitter thing to disobey the Lord. Notice what God, through Jeremiah the prophet, said to his people, Jeremiah 2:19, your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. And the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. If we turn our backs on God, do not obey him, do not honor him, do not love him, it is an evil and bitter thing that we are doing. If you have behaved in such a fashion, you ought to realize that God's commands and God's rebukes are in your best interest and are actually expressions of his love. Those things are things that he punishes. You need to know. We all need to know what pleases God and what displeases him. And so it is not because God does not like us that he tells us what is wrong. It is because he loves us so that we will repent of those things that are wrong. And we should not let any bitterness build up against one another. But as Jesus said, go to one another, Matthew 18:15-17, and try to resolve each problem. Bitterness can be replaced by joy for those who repent of their sins. So we should not allow bitterness to occur and to grow deeper, and we should make sure that we're not bitter because it's based on false premises. We should not act on bitterness, but should seek to resolve all problems between brothers and sisters. If you need to repent of your sins, including that one, or any other sin, we invite you to come this evening. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then certainly you need to do that. Do not turn your back on God. Do not be bitter against him. Do not be bitter against things that happen in life, because evil things are going to befall us at some times, as they did with Job. But rather continue to trust and obey God as he has revealed himself through his word. If we can help you this evening in any spiritual matter, please let us know while we stand and while we sing.